And now Jesus says here, when the unclean spirit's gone out of you, he walks through dry places seeking rest and finding none. So he says, I'll return unto my house, that's your body, where I came out of. When you say there's an unclean spirit in there that's seeking to satisfy his old perverted appetites. The devil wants to impose his perverted appetites in your system, that you want the illicit. You want the forbidden fruit, just like Eve did. Oh, Lord said, hey, you got a whole garden full of trees here. Look at them. You got a whole garden full of fruit trees, and I have one in the middle of the garden. You can have all the fruit you want off of these trees, except my tree, leave it alone, and don't you touch it. Don't you eat the fruit, don't you even put your hand on it. Because if you do, you will surely die. Now, when the devil, that's the way it is with a Christian. If the old spirits of lust would leave you alone, you'd be all right, but they're not going to leave you alone. They're unclean. They want you to be unclean, so God will reject you and punish you with an evil disease or affliction. God can't do it unless you disobey and rebel against him. And that's what these evil spirits are for, is to cause you to rebel against the good counsel that you get from God's word, from the man of God. He wants you to say, well, that don't apply to me. Or, I believe he's making that a little bit too strict. I believe I can saddle off here and addle off here on the sideline here and get away. Well, you just try it. That's all I know. That's what Eve said. She went up and looked at that tree one day and says, you know, that looks good. And the devil said, it'll make one wise. And he says, if I eat it, I'll be like God. That God didn't mean I would. Surely God didn't mean. Boy, that's where the devil destroys the Christian and the average individual. God didn't mean what he said. I'm going to tell you what God meant when he said, don't you eat that fruit. These preachers today are parroting and mimicking the same old spirit that came in that Garden of Eden that created the stinking rebellion and lust that's in the world today. They're responsible for it. We still got them stinking old preachers with demons controlling their lifestyle and their message they preach, perverting the good word of God and the good life of holiness. Oh, God didn't mean this. Let me tell you what he meant. He didn't mean not to touch that tree that you'd surely die or eat of it. He meant that if you would eat it, you'd be like him, and you know the difference between good and evil, right and wrong. So she looked at it. She said, it does really look good. Leave on try it. So she ate one, she took one home to Adam, said, come on, eat this. And Adam did it. But it wasn't easy. If old Brother Paul hadn't have piped up about that issue over in 1 Timothy 2, we wouldn't have known what transpired. He said the Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. She seduced him. The devil seduced her. The devil seduced her with a lie. Eve seduced Adam with her nude body. See, neither one of them had clothes on. He couldn't stand it. No, you ain't gonna lay with me. You ain't gonna sleep with me unless you come over and eat my apple. Finally, that old lust, the same devil that tempted her with a lie, put the spirit of lust on Adam. Well, he says, well, I lust for your wife. It's not if it's she's paying you with an apple. In other words, if you don't go to the movies with me, if you don't let me put on a bathing suit and go to the beach, if you don't put up with me smoking cigarettes, if you don't put up with me wearing makeup, if you don't put up with me wearing pantsuits, if you don't tolerate me going shopping and spending all your money hard as I can spend it, you ain't going to sleep with me no more. That ain't nothing, gals, but the stinking devil. And you're just a pawn of the devil. And if you listen to that man, you ain't nothing but a stinking wimp. With a capital W. All right, let's go on. Divisions is one of the greater weapons, the beguilements the devil seeks to cause among God's people is weakness and division that comes through that division. There always comes weakness. Division. Creating divisions among us where we don't believe the same thing. We don't speak the same thing. We don't see eye to eye anymore. Listen, this is a scripture back over in the book of Isaiah. It says, the Lord will bring again the captive to Zion when they begin to see eye to eye again. Why do you think God accepts you as a part of his church when the early church was characterized by having all things common in one mind and one accord? Neither said all of the things he had was his own, but they had all things together. And then with great grace gave the apostles witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Great power gave the apostles witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. We've got to recognize the fact that the devil wants to divide and conquer. He wants to weaken us. Ephesians 6 and 10, Paul said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. For he said, you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You wrestle against these demons, against spiritual wickedness and principalities and powers and such like. You're not fighting out here against your adversary who's in human form. You're fighting against that stinking devil that controls him and resisting that devil. You don't hate the preacher. Yeah, they're preaching you some old heresy. You hate that stinking devil that's responsible for his deception and blindness. God have mercy sakes. Blind people. They're a dime a dozen in this generation. Weaknesses through division. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. We're not ignorant of his devices. 2 Corinthians 10. The Apostle Paul continues. Verse 3. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's them principalities that the devil can set up in your life that you think you're clear, you think you're delivered, and then all of a sudden there arises some old corrupt thought. You have some old strong urge to do something, and you think, well, I thought I was sanctified. He said, here, you got to pull down the strongholds, those principalities of the devil. You can get thoroughly, you think truly and thoroughly sanctified, and all of a sudden you got a desire for some old perverted appetite, a taste, some devil comes along there and imposes upon you. You thought, well, I thought I had the whole fort cleaned out. Still a corrupter there, you got to fight. And then he says, what that devil's doing to you in them strongholds, you got to cast down those imaginations. That's one stronghold you can have. And every high thing that exalteth itself, anything in your life that tries to set a precedent over some old past desire, experience, affection, or perverted teaching, that you cast down imaginations, and every high thing that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God or the Word of God. You don't let nothing take precedence over the knowledge that you get from God's word about God. And then you bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought you think. Where's that back to Proverbs 16 and 3? Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You've got to do it God's way. Stay busy for God. Don't let the devil, when these demons corrupt you and being lazy, drag you. Always dragging around The devil will make you a dragon like he is. Dragoon, just drag around. You ought to be punctual more with God than you are with anybody else. Oh, I'm punctual on my job. I'm punctual everywhere else. Well, be punctual with God. That's where it counts most. That's where it really counts. Go a little bit farther. Let's see, here's something in the life of this apostle that is a real revealer, a revelation to us of what the devil can do. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul says in verse 10, when I'm weak,